Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Transformation Extender Command Line Utilities, Part 1. Today's presenter is Tim Rabbit. Tim is an advisory software engineer for the IBM WebSphere Transformation Extender L2 support team. Tim has been providing customer support services with W2TX for 7-plus years. At this time, I would like to turn the presenter over to Tim. Tim, you may begin.
Thank you, David. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to anyone who is listening to this presentation, and welcome to WebSphere Transformation Extender Command Line Utilities Part 1. I'd like to proceed to slide 2. So what are we going to cover today, and what are the command line utilities? What I'd like to discuss is why you want to use them, what they can do for you, configuring your environment to use these utilities, the types of command line utilities that exist, and then we'll go into some examples, and as David mentioned as well, some questions and answers. As we go through this presentation and the examples, everything's going to be based on the latest release of our product, which is WTX 8.4.0.3. So if you're looking through examples, documentation, and things along that line, that's what the base reference will be. Let's move on to slide 3. So why would you want to use them? One primary reason is to automate the processing, which would include compiling, analyzing, converting large volumes of maps, trees, and systems that you have via scripts. And it's also useful to use these WTX components without the need for using X Windows in the Unix world or the Windows GUIs that we have with our product, for instance, like the Design Studio, Integration Flow Designer, or some other of our utilities that exist. Moving on to slide 4. So what can they do for you? Well, they can analyze type trees. You can import and export type trees, map source files and systems. You can convert type tree properties from bytes to characters. You can compile maps. You can generate a map report in an HTML format from a map source file. You can deploy systems, your MSDs and MSLs. You can create one map that can transform any input data into an XML output format. You can edit the resource registry, and you can start, stop, and administer the WTX launcher. Slide 5. In order to use these command line utilities, and as a reference point, I also want to mention, you'll also hear these referred to as utility commands, you need to configure your environment properly. In the Windows world, you're going to need to make sure your path environment variable is set properly. And here I've provided an example of the default installation directories. So here I've issued the set path equals /IBM/WebSphere Transformation Extender 8.4. And then I've made sure I included my original path that I had set so that I don't mess up my environment by saying %path%. In the Unix world, there's a couple of ways you can do this. One would be by running our setup command, which is in the base installation directory of where you installed WTX, and you would run that by cding to that installation directory, and you could type .space ./setup or .the path/setup itself. Another way is to manually set it on the fly by setting the path environment variable and the LD library path or lib path, depending on which Unix environment you're in. So to set path, you would say export path equals wherever your WTX installation is. And here I've used the default of /opt/IBM/WTX/bin, and then :/path to, again, make sure you retain your existing path variables. And then if we can move on to slide 6. To set your library path, depending on what environment you're in, if it's AIX, you want to set libpath, or if you're using Solaris, Linux, Zlinux, or HPUX, you want to set LD_library_path. And again, here are two examples on how to set it. You set that, you export that particular environment variable, and you make sure you set that to your WTX installation directory, and in particular, the libs subdirectory. On to slide 7. So in addition to setting the path and other environment variables, there's an environment variable that the scripts, that the commands use in return, tell you whether things have been successful or failed. In the Windows environment, you're going to have an environment variable called error level. In the Unix world, it's called status. So depending on which environment you're in, they're both going to return the same type of result. A 0 will indicate that the utility command was successful, and a 1 will indicate there was a failure with that command while it ran. You can then use these environment variables if you're scripting things, whether it's a batch script or a shell script, to take additional action based on the results of the utility command that you are using. On to slide 8. So, what type of utility commands are there? They're grouped by functionality within WTX, and what we have is utilities for the type designer, map designer, integration flow designer, XML, resource registry, the launcher, and then map tuning. As a note here, map tuning has already been discussed in a WSTE presentation on August 15th that was titled Map Tuning Utilities in Debugging in the Design Studio. So please visit our WSTE site if you want to review map tuning aspects of our product. And the resource registry, XML, and launcher utilities, those are going to be discussed in a future presentation, which is currently scheduled for February 6th of 2013. That's being broken out into separate presentations due to the length and the overall topics included to make sure we have enough time to do everything. There are, just as a side note, there are some other map and tree conversion utilities that if you look up in our utility commands documentation, you will find those. Those are older utilities, and those were intended for use for migrating from WTX 7.5 and earlier to the current suite of products. But since 7.5, actually WTX 8.0 and earlier are no longer supported, most of our clients have already gone through that migration process, and there is no need for those utilities. DTX, MapConv is an example, and if you really do want to know about those are listed in our documentation. On to slide 9. Okay, let's start with the type designer utilities. There are 4 utilities here. There's TAnalyze, which allows you to analyze type trees. T-import, which imports metadata definitions to create type trees, T-export, which exports type trees to a text file, and TBC, CONV, which allows you to convert type tree properties from bytes to characters. These particular 4 utilities are Windows only, and the equivalent functionality is found within the Design Studio. And at the bottom of this page is a link to the documentation for the type designer related utilities. On to slide 10. So the first utility I'd like to cover is TAnalyze, and this allows you to analyze one or more type trees. One of the good things about this is it eliminates the need to open up individual trees in the Design Studio. If you wanted to analyze 100 trees, you would have to go into the Design Studio, wait for that to open, and then manually open up 100 trees and then click on the tree analyze button for each individual tree. Using this TAnalyze command, you can script this, or you could manually type it on the command line one by one, but through scripts, You will see in an example later on towards the end of the presentation how easily you can use scripts to to analyze or import or even compile a whole slew of maps and trees. So what's the syntax? Syntax is t-analyze, space the name of the tree, then you've got options of how to analyze it. Logically, structurally, that's the minus L and the minus S options. There's a minus R option for telling it where to put a result file. You can save the results, you can log the results, and then you can tell it what type of logging to do, whether it be fail, verbose, append, or even no logging at all. So minus L tells you to analyze the tree logically, and that means you want to analyze it based on the integrity of the relationships within the tree. Structurally, you're going to analyze it by the integrity of the underlying database structure that is within the tree itself. The minus R option, you can specify a location and or a file name for you want where you want the analyzed results to go. And that will be, by default, a file named typetree.dbe. Let's move on to slide 11. You have a dash save option. When you analyze a tree, you typically want to save it so that when you go in, if you were using the Map Designer, the GUI version, that this saving after you've analyzed will avoid the pop-up question of this tree has not been analyzed, do you want to do this before continuing question that you quite often would see. Dash log, it's enabled by default, and it's going to log results to a file if you want to specify that. Otherwise, it will always display stuff to the screen. You have several logging sub-options. One, you can specify a log file name where you want the log results to go. Dash fail is another sub-option. If you enable that, it's only going to report failures to the log file that's generated. If you want to append to the log file, use the dash append file. Otherwise, it's going to be overwritten each and every time. Verbose adds a little bit of extra additional logging results to the file. And dash no log completely disables logging, and you won't see anything. On to slide 12. Here's a quick example of a t-analyze command. In this example here, I'm just telling it to analyze a tree that I had called my tree. I'm telling it to logically and structurally analyze the tree, save the results so that I don't run into any issues when I go to compile it. I want any results logged to the file called mytree_failure.dbe, and I'm telling it, yes, I do want logging. Put those log results in a t_analyze_summary.log file, append to it if it exists, only log failures, and add the verbose option for additional documentation within that file. As we go through the rest of these commands, you're going to see dash log, dash no log, dash fail, dash append, and dash verbose, basically on all these commands. So as we go through them, I'm not going to be repeating those same options. You've seen them once with this one option, and they'll be in the documentation if you do have to review it. Let's move on to slide 13. Another Type Designer utility is t-import. In the command line version, this version is not as robust as the tree importing feature we have within the Design Studio itself. Command line version is limited to importing MTS files, schemas, DTDs, and copybooks. The Design Studio version allows you to import additional information. So, what can you import? Like I said, type tree maker files, those are those that end in MTS, schemas, which are typically XSD files, document type definition files, those are DTDs, and COBOL copybooks. The syntax of t-import. It's t-import space minus IMP and then importer options. Importer options, we'll get into in just a minute here. Those are a bunch of sub-options within the command itself. If you want to know about help feature for this, for importer options, there's the dash help sub option. There's dash no, dash o, dash keep MTFs, dash in dash log syntax, as in, like I mentioned earlier, you're going to see dash log over and over again. So if we move on to slide 14, we can see some more of the details of the importer options. So importer options has the capability of MTF, and then you will either specify the actual MTF file name or just the file name itself with no MTF option, and we'll get to some examples later on. Another option is the word XML schema. These are when you would import the XSD file, and then you can tell it a language and a validation option. The same with XML DTD files have similar options. And then there's copybook, which has some additional options of byte order and character set. One thing I want to point out in these, the syntax for this command, if you notice with XML schema, XML DTD and copybook, right after that keyword, you see a left bracket and then ending in a left bracket. Typically, left brackets mean options, but it's an optional feature. But in this case, XML schema space bracket and then the corresponding closing bracket are required as part of the command line. And again, we'll get to an example where you'll be able to easily see this. Let's move on to slide 15. So, for the importer options, for COBOL copybook, this will import the copybook to be imported, and the file that's being imported must be fully qualified. The path and corresponding file name must be part of the import option. There's a language option with the COBOL copybook. By default, it's Western, but you have an option of Western or Japanese. For validation, you can do either Xerxes or Classic, with Xerxes being the default. And then there's a byte order. You can do native, big endian, or little endian. Big endian is typically refers to the leftmost bytes, and you see that in the IBM, HP, and Solaris environments typically. And little endian, which is rightmost, you will see that in the Intel world. Moving on to slide 16. So again, with the COBOL copybook, the character set. Again, you have, you can specify one of the code pages for this option that comes with WTX. The default is native, where native is the definition associated with your particular environment country that your PC is configured for. There's also the KICS option, CICS, and that's for specifying to the importer that should generate a type tree for a KICS adapter. And here again, I did mention that the brackets, left and right brackets, are required to enclose the importer option type parameters. And then there's a dash help option that will redisplay the overall syntax to you at the command line. On to slide 17. Additional options for TImport is dash no. Dash no will tell the command, the TImport command, to not overwrite an existing type tree. So if you had a type tree out there and you were about to type this command and you did not want it to be accidentally overwritten, make sure you do dash no. The dash O option allows you to specify the location and or name of the generated type tree. There's a couple key things to be careful of here. If it's not specified when you're attempting to import a tree from a various metadata file, the resulting type tree will be saved to the port subdirectory that is within your WTX installation. That's key, because you may be in a particular directory, you imported the tree, and you're saying, where did that tree go? If you don't specify dash O, look in your port subdirectory. When importing an MTF file, in dash O is not specified. The tree could be saved to the value that is in the MTS file. There's a new tree equals file name entry in an MTS file. So again, if you don't know where that tree went, look at your MTS file, look for that new tree equals entry. That will tell you the directory name and potentially the actual file name that that tree was saved to. If the file name does not specify a path with regards to the MTS file, it, again, will be saved to the port subdirectory. So there's the keep MTS file, keep MTS option. This, when you're importing the process, importing a type A WSDL, excuse me, DTD or a schema or a copybook, there's intermediary files that are used. These intermediary files are called the MTS files. If you want that file kept, use the dash keep MTS file. That way that file will be retained upon the completion of the command. And again, we've seen the dash log and dash no log options as with the other options, other utilities, excuse me. On to slide 18. So here's some examples of how to use the timport command. I presented three right here. The first one is attempting to import a DTD file. And if you notice, right after I specified XML DTD, I've got the left brackets. And then to be safe, I included the full path name and file name of the DTD I wanted to import. I gave an example of how to override the language and the validation for these examples. Although those are the defaults, I just wanted to highlight how you could change them. I use a dash log option, dash fail, append, and verbose, and I told it to create an output type tree called podata.mtt. You can name that whatever you feel is appropriate for your environment. Second example, here we're importing an XML schema. Again, notice the left brackets are incorporated around the corresponding options for importing. Again, fully qualified path name, pointing to the XSD, language option, validation option, logging, and renaming of the output type tree. I want it to be named IPO.MTT. Third example, importing a copybook. As I mentioned up front, with copybooks, this is a definite requirement here. Path and file name must be specified. XML schema, XML DTD, you don't need the path. Copybooks, you definitely do. So here, importing that copybook, telling it to log the output, and rename the generated tree to be, in this case, mycb.mtt. So let's move on to slide 19. The third utility within the Type Designer is T-Export. T-Export, it allows you to export a particular type within a tree or the entire tree to an MTS file. An MTS file is a text file, and why would you want to do this? This is useful to make global changes with a text editor to import and to later import and potentially analyze the, any changes you have made. One reason would be is if you have a type tree and you have component rules or restriction lists where maybe the restriction list is used throughout the tree and you had it in there as A, B, C, D and you needed to change it to D, E, F. Instead of hunting through the GUI version of the Design Studio for your type tree to find every entry of A, B, C, D, you can export your tree to an MTS file, use a text editor to do a massive search and replace, and then eventually re-import it. So this could be a time saver because going through the trees in the Design Studio can become complex. So what's the syntax of T-Export? T-Export space the name of the type tree. And then if you wanted to export a particular type, you would use the minus T option. dash no, dash O, and then the logging options. So going into detail of what these options are, the MTT file is simply the type tree you want to export. Dash T, followed by the type name, would be a specific type within that tree that you would want to export. Otherwise, you're going to export the entire tree. On to slide 20. Dash no, when you export the tree, as I said, it's going to create a .mts file. Dash no tells you do not overwrite an existing MTS file if it is there. In dash o, you get to specify the name of that MTS file you want to generate. And again, the familiar dash log and no log examples. On to page 21. Here's two examples of using TExport. So first we see an export of a tree called mytree.mtt, going to export it and put it to a directory called c:\mydev/export-results/mytree.mts, and then I'm going to log for failure, verbose, and append. And then the second example takes the same type tree, and in this example, I'm just, instead of exporting the whole type tree, I'm saying go and export only the material associated with my type. On to slide 22. The fourth utility within the Type Designer is TBC-CONV. This is used to automatically convert certain objects in a type tree sized in bytes to characters from the command line. This was introduced with WTX 8.2 when we started using bytes and characters. Versions 8.1 and earlier did not have a max min size representation of characters. As of 8.2, it does. So the max min size of characters was introduced to accommodate a multitude of character sets. And the behavior of this command is going to depend on the objects in the type tree being converted, whether that's text to the syntax, number, or date and time. And it depends on the options that you use that go along with this command. The object types are represented by the item subclass property values within the type tree. On to slide 23. The syntax of this command, TBC-CONV, the type tree, minus P, minus R, and the log options. So what do these particular options mean? MTT file is simply the type tree you want to convert. Dash P, it centers around the pad sizing option. As it states here, it's used to indicate for those items that have the pad characteristic turned on, the pad sizing value for the size as property will be changed from bytes to characters. It also determines how the pad value is sized when data is being validated and written as output. Items that have pad characteristics are text, date and time, number. The syntax property has no pad property. On to slide 24. For those objects that meet this criteria with the pad properties being set to yes and the byte is specified for text, date, time, or number, items for the size as property in the type tree. When the conversion utility command is run with the dash P option, the value for size as property set as byte will be changed to character. Dash R will tell you what the DBE file is and display the results for you. Dash log and dash no log are, again, the familiar options we've seen before. The best thing for using this command is to become familiar with it is to refer to the documentation for TBC-CONV. It can be a little bit harder to understand what is happening with this command, so it is best that you refer to the documentation for usage and overall examples. So let's move on to slide 25. And this introduces us to the Map Designer utilities. And here we have four utilities as well. Mcompile to build maps, Mimport to import an XML file to generate a map source file, mExport, which will export a map source to an XML file, and mReport, which generates an HTML file from your map source. Like the Type Designer, these are only available in the Windows environment, and they have the same functionality as the Design Studio. And at the bottom is a link to that part of our documentation. On to slide 26. With the mcompile command, there are three syntax options that are with this particular command. The first is mcompile space the map source, and then the dash L option that will simply list the maps that are within that map source file, the MMS file. And you have another option of dash DP or dash TX for data power or TX type maps. The second syntax, this one gets a little bit more complicated with regards to the options. It's mcompile space name of the map minus A, minus K, minus E, minus NO, minus DP, minus TX, minus P, minus O, minus R, and then the log and no log options. And then if we move on to slide 27, there's the third syntax option, which in this allows you to compile a specific map within the MMS, the map source. And that syntax is mcompile, the map source file name, then the particular map you want to compile, followed by the minus E, minus no, minus P, minus O, minus R, and log options. And what I'll do next, as we move on to slide 28, is start going into what these options really mean. So back to the first option for mcompile, and that was the listing option. So again, it's the minus L option is going to list the individual maps names that are within that map source file. So if you had one map source file that had 10 maps in it, you're going to see 10 names displayed when you run this command. You also have the ability to list those maps that were built or intended to be built, I should say, for data power or WTX. Determining what a map is compiled for, you can see that or change the setting, I should say, by going into the Design Studio in the Map Settings, Map Runtime option. You can tell it whether to compile for data power or for WTX. That setting within the Design Studio impacts what you would see in this mcompile minus L option, especially if you were to use dash DP or dash TX. Let's move on to slide 29. The second syntax option allows you to build or compile the maps. The dash A option is required, and it's going to build all the maps if you specify it by itself, it's going to build all the maps within that MMS file. If you specify minus A minus DP, it's going to build all the data power maps. Minus A minus TX will build just the WTX maps. Minus A with minus K, that will allow the maps to be continued to be compiled an error occurs. Without this option, map compilation will stop with the first error encountered and not compile any remaining maps that may exist in that map source file. Moving on to slide 30. There's the minus E option. That allows you to report map errors only. Map compilers warnings will not be reported. Dash no, so that as the map is compiled, if you specify that, it will not accidentally overwrite an existing MMC file. Dash DP, compile data power maps only. Dash TX, WTX maps only. I apologize for repeating the dash DP and dash DT, dash TX features here. A corrected presentation will be posted after the conclusion of this presentation. You have the dash P option, where you specify the particular platform you want to compile these maps for. If you specify nothing, it's going to compile them for Windows. A lot of people deploy to non-Windows environments, so here's a way with the dash P option to compile it for AIX, HP Itanium, Linux, Solaris, Windows, Z Linux, or even ZOS. On to slide 31. Dash O allows you to specify the particular output file name you want to give this compiled map. Dash R specifies the location of the results file, which is the MME, and again, dash log and dash no log. On to slide 32. This is the third syntax option, and again, the third syntax option allows you to compile a particular map within the MMS file. So again, it's the MMS file, the map you want to compile, minus E, as you saw before, to not ignore errors, but continue compiling, and dash no to not overwrite an existing map. Slide 33. Again, shows the similar options, minus P to specify a platform, minus O to specify the output path and file name, and minus R to say where the results are going to go with regards to the MME file. On to slide 34, and again, the dash log and no log features. If we move on to slide 35, we'll see an example. First example, it's just a simple listing. If I type mcompile space run map dot mms minus l, it's going to list out the maps I have within that particular map source. Second option says I want to take the my maps map source file, compile all the maps, keep going even if I encounter an error. I want to compile them for Windows, and then in this case I'm going to name all the I'm going to put all the compiled maps in a directory called c:\mydev:\compiled-maps. The asterisk.mmc is going to tell it to name all the individual maps within my maps by that map name and give me the MMC extension. Give me result files to look at, log the results for failure, and actually append to it. The third example takes a map called runmap.mms, and this is actually one of our example maps. And in runmap.mms is actually several maps, but here I'm telling it just compile the get hours map. And instead of compiling it for Windows, I'm telling it compile it for AIX in this case. Let's move on to slide 36. Mimport. This is used to import an XML file and create a map source from the command line. The syntax is mimport, the name of the XML file, dash no, dash o, and then the logging options. Dash no, dash o, dash log, and dash no log have the same meaning as other commands that we've seen before. So if we move on to slide 37, when would you want to use this? It would be used after you've exported a map and you've made some changes to it. So if you've made large-scale changes to maps with a text editor, you would want to re-import it. And it's also suggested that maps that were previously exported should also have their trees exported and then imported before the actual map is re-imported with this mimport command. And then another reason why you would want to use it is after you've used the DTX any to XML feature, which is also a utility command line, that actual command will be discussed in February. On to slide 38. Another time to use import is if you've used a WSDL file and you've imported that through the type designer only. Unfortunately, you can't import a WSDL file from the command line. You have to do that in the Design Studio's type designer import feature. If you import a WSDL file from the type designer, it's going to create an XML file for you to give you a map that you can use from that was based on that WSDL. Since it created an XML file and you want to use that to create a map, you then would use mimport and import that XML file for your overall WSDL process that you're working on. A simple example on the bottom of slide 38 is mimport myxmlfile.xml. I'm going to tell it what I want the output map name to be, and give it the last log and dash append options. On to slide 39. The third utility with regards to the map designer is mExport. It's used to export a map source file to an XML file from the command line. It's useful to create a text version of the map or maps that will allow you to make large-scale changes or trace through a map if it's easier for you to review them that way. The syntax, mExport, space the name of the map source file, with the familiar options of no, dash o, dash log, and no log. On to slide 40. A simple example is mExport, exporting the map called mymaps.mms, telling it with the minus o option what file name you want it exported to, and you're going to log the results and append it as well. Moving on to slide 41. Emery, the last map designer utility is mReport. It allows you to generate a report of what is in the map source file. It generates it in HTML format. The syntax is mReport, MMS, and again with the familiar options we've been seeing, minus no, minus o, dash log. On slide 42 is an example of how to use this. So it's simply mReport, the name of the map source. Here I use the map output option to tell it to create a map, a file called myhtmlfile.html, log it, and append. What's going to happen when you look at this HTML file, you're going to see the audit settings, trace settings, page size, page count, input and output cards, and the associated rules that are in the output cards, all viewable as a web page. On to slide 43. The last set of utilities we're going to cover today is the Integration Flow Designer utilities. And here we have three of them. They are sDeploy, which allows you to analyze your systems, build the maps that are contained within that system, generate and deploy the system to a specified server from the command line. There's the MSD import, which allows you to export an XML file and create a system definition file in MSD. And then there's MSD export, which allows you to export the MSD file to a text file from the command line. Like the type designer and map designer rule commands, these are Windows only, and the equivalent functionality is also found within the Integration Flow Designer. A documentation link is also included at the bottom of this page. Let's move on to slide 44 and discuss the sDeploy feature. sDeploy has several syntax options. The first one is sDeploy, the name of the MSD file, and the minus L. The second syntax allows you to list all the systems that are within that MSD. The second syntax allows you to analyze, build, and generate the files associated with the MSD. The syntax is sDeploy, the MSD file name, minus A, minus K, no, and then sub-options of analyze, build maps, and generate, and then, again, the familiar log and no log options. And then on page slide 45 is the third syntax, which we refer to as our deploy syntax or sDeploy. And it has similar syntax as syntax number two did, but it adds the deploy functionality within the sDeploy. And it relates to a particular system that is within the MSD, whereas syntax two was all the systems. Let's move on to slide 46. Okay, so that first option was a listing feature of the sDeploy command. So you specify the MSD, and then the minus L option simply tells it to list and display all the systems within the MSD. Sample is sDeploy, spacelauncher.msd, minus L. And for those that do have our launcher product and you did install the examples when you installed WTX, you will see a launcher.msd within our example subdirectory that this was used based from. On to slide 47. The second syntax, which was the ability to analyze, build, and generate, starts with the minus A option. It will analyze and compile all maps that are present in the systems and generate MSL files for all systems present in the MSD. This option is required when using syntax option 2. There's the minus K option, which allows you to continue compilation even if an error is encountered. We saw a similar option with mcompile. Dash no, again, do not overwrite an existing MSL. Similar type of functionality as we saw with other commands. On to slide 48. So here we have the sub-options that we'll start with. And as I mentioned a minute or so ago, there's the analyze, build, and generate options. So let's start with the analyze. If you want to use the analyze options, the syntax is dash analyze, and then optional E mode, and minus R options. So dash analyze tells you to analyze the MSD, but do not deploy maps or the actual MSD slash MSL. Dash E mode, that's the execution mode that you've defined or can define with the MSD. And there's two modes. There's the launcher mode, ES, or the command server mode, CS. If E mode is not specified, the default is ES. Like the other options, we have a minus R option, which will tell you to specify a file for where the deploy results will go. If you're familiar with deploying files in the Integration Flow Designer, this is the same as the MSD deploy results file that you always get asked if you want to open when you're doing your deploy. On to slide 49. So we covered the analyze options, now there's the build map options. That syntax is minus build maps, minus P, minus O, and minus R. So dash build map says build and compile all the maps that are within that particular MSD. And like we saw with mcompile, we also have a minus P option here to specify the particular platform. On to slide 50. There's also a minus O option, again, to tell it what the path and file name should be, and the minus R for displaying the results to a particular file. One thing I do want to bring to your attention that our team is currently investigating, I've noticed that if you specify minus A and minus O on the command line, it's going to report an error. We are currently investigating this, so if you are going to be using this sdeploy command, please don't use minus O at this time until we complete our investigation. The code and our documentation will be updated once we figure out what the proper solution to this issue is. Let's move on to slide 51. So we did analyze and build maps options. The third is generate. So generate, again, has a E mode option, a platform option, and the minus O option. So for generate, you're going to tell it to generate, and you're going to tell it to generate it for an E mode of launcher, which is ES, or CS. To note, when you generate an MSD and you tell it to generate, in this case particular for a command server, it's going to generate a text file. That text file can then be used to run the map that you're trying to run from the command server. And then I'll give a little bit more detail about that in just a second here as we move on to slide 52. So with the generate options, again, dash P, dash O, and again, like I mentioned, please don't use dash O right now, but this is the way the syntax is currently labeled. If you tell the emote option to be AEF, it's going to generate an MSL file. That's what everybody should be familiar with. That gets deployed to your runtime platform, and it is a binary file. As I mentioned earlier, if you specify emote of CF, it's going to generate a text file. And you can use that text file to run your map with the DTX CMD SV command. And you would simply execute that by typing DTX CMD SV space the at symbol, and then the name of that command server file name that gets generated. If you don't use the dash O option, when you generate from the sdeploy command, it will just simply create a text file name with the name of that system. So if you had a system called launcher, you're going to see a file called launcher. Not launcher.txt, not launcher.bat, but it will be simply called launcher. So you could type DTX CMD SV at symbol launcher, and that will invoke the command line to the command server, to run a map. And we'll see examples of these things later on. On to slide 53. Again, the dash log and dash no log option. And on to slide 54. Here I wanted to provide a couple examples. First example is just to simply analyze the MSD to make sure there's no errors within it with regards to the structure, mismatch with cards, and any incompatibilities. So we're telling it to analyze everything that's in that MSD for the execution mode of ES, which is the launcher, or as some people know it, the event server, telling it where to put the results with the minus R option, and log the results. Second example, build all the maps within that MSD. You're going to build them all for Windows, look at the results by the minus R option, and then log the option, the results as well, to the results.txt file. On to slide 55. Here's a generate example. In this case, we're going to say generate for the launcher MSD file, everything that's in there. We're going to generate it for AIX. And the execution mode is going to be the launcher. On to slide 56. The third syntax is here is where you would want to, we're going to add the deploy option and deploy just a particular system. Sometimes MSDs can contain more than one system within it. So here we have analyze, build maps, generate, and deploy options. On to slide 57. As I mentioned, it has similar syntax as with regards to what we saw in the syntax format number 2, but we're going to add the deploy option. And the syntax of deploy is dash deploy, this script that is associated with that MSD. You're going to tell it you can tell it the execution mode, you can tell it a server, you can tell it a user, and an IP address, as well as a results file. That dash deploy option is the script name. That script is used to is using the script name to the specified server in the MSD file. When you're in the IFD and you're looking through that MSD, you always have to define how and where you want things deployed to. You're telling it to deploy that particular script that you defined associated with that system. Again, emote of ES or CS, depending on how you want the execution mode defined. And on to slide 58. You can specify the server. You may have a particular server defined. You can override it here. Here you can tell it local server. You can tell it a server that's already defined within the MSD, but you can override that. You can tell it to deploy it for a particular user, specifying the user ID and the password. You can tell it the IP address, and it will deploy that system to that particular environment, and again with the minus R option to display the results to a file of your choosing. And then on slide 59, we see again the dash log and no log options. On to slide 60. Here's a couple of examples. The first one, we're going to generate an MSL for a particular system and deploy to a specified server. So here, we're using that third syntax option. So we're deploying launcher.msd. We're going to deploy the system named new system. Where are we going to deploy it? We're going to deploy it using the my script that was defined within the integration flow designer. We're going to deploy it to as a launcher-based system with the -emode-es, going to the server my server, and with the results going to that specified file of the -r option, and then logging the results. The second example is generating an MSL for a particular system and deploy it to a specific specified server using a certain user ID and password. Similar to the first example above, but here we're adding the minus user and minus password and IP options so that that way you can override things to go to a totally different server if you so desire. On to slide 61. Here we have the MSD import feature. This allows you to import an XML file that you may have previously exported. It is an XML file that you do import. Why would you want to use this? It's to import any changes made via the text editor or to re-import due to any corruption. Sometimes if an MSD is corrupt, exporting it and re-importing it can correct the problem. Syntax is MSD space the XML file. Familiar options of minus no, there's minus O again. We have some new options of the reference system, a reference server, the OSIS, O server, ASIS, and then the familiar log options again. So with these new options, we have minus refsys. That's import the dependent systems of the system being imported. On slide 62, we've got the reference server. That's import the dependent systems of the systems being imported. We have OSIS, where you're going to override any system being imported if it already exists. We have minus OSVR, and that's override any server being imported if it already exists. And then we've got minus A server, where you specify a server name, and that is import only servers from the XML file. With no server name specified, all servers are imported. If a server name is specified, only import that specific servers. And as you know, in the integration flow designer, you do specify a server. So this is where saying a server and the server name will only import those particular ones. On to slide 63. Then you've got ASIS. Import only those particular systems. Not all of them, just the particular ones. And again, minus log and no log. Examples, MSD import is an XML file, and you're going to tell it the system name to give it as you import it. And then we also have another example on the bottom of the page. You're telling it, in this case, to add the ASIS options, where you're telling it don't import them all, just import the one called my WTX system. On to slide 64. The last utility command we're going to cover today, before we head to some examples, is MSD export. And this allows you to take an MSD file and export it to an XML file where you can use a text editor to make any necessary changes. The syntax is MSD export, the MSD file, familiar options of no, O, and log, but we've also got EPWD, in RefSys, RefServer, and AServer. The new option here is EPWD, and that's to tell the system to encrypt the password with the associated servers so that this way, as it's exported, because now it's going to be a text file, it's not readable by the human eye so that integrity and security are maintained. On to slide 65. We've seen these same options just previously with MSD import. So again, we've got RefSys, RefServer, A Server and ASIS, those are telling you to just do those particular referenced or particular servers and system names. On to slide 66 is again log and no log. And an example is MSD export. I just noticed I have a typo here. Sorry about that. So it should say MSD export mysystem.msd minus O, telling it where to put the XML file that it's going to generate, and then with a dash log and append options. On to slide 67. So with the overall usage of these commands, some additional information can be found about these by searching APARs, TechNotes, and the Information Center. I've provided a link here to our support site as well as our documentation. And then on to slide 68. If you do encounter an issue with these utilities or with WTX in general, here's a link on how to open up a PMR, and there's also some information that we would like you to gather when opening up a PMR, and there's a link there that tells you some information about it. One thing to note, a lot of these commands, as I've gone through them preparing for this presentation, unfortunately, I did encounter some errors with our product. A large majority of them have already been fixed, so opening up, if you want to use these properly, I do suggest open up a PMR and request what we refer to as a tip of tree for the particular utility command, and we can get you the latest and greatest version of that command. Some of the defects that we found with the product are in the actual usage of it. Others are in the documentation. Documentation is being updated regularly. You do not need to open a PMR to get the documentation, but you would need a PMR to get the latest version of the appropriate utility command. On to slide 69. In summary, before we go to any examples, again, review the online web-based documentation for the utility commands, usage, and examples. Part two of this topic will be in February, and that will cover the resource registry, XML commands, as well as launcher utility commands. And again, our support page is listed here. At this time, I'd like to go over and show you some quick examples of these utilities that I've been discussing today. So, David, if you could hand over control to me.
Tim, you have control.
Okay. And I'm hoping at this point everybody can see a DOS command prompt window I have.
Yes.
Okay. And for everybody that's on this call, there is going to be a zip file distributed as well that includes some shell scripts I've written here. What I wanted to do in the case of right here is t-analyze. Right here in this directory, I have a bash script I wrote called wstetanalyze.bat, and the way to use it is described within the bat file itself. But what I've done is in the directory trees to analyze is I have several trees. And as I mentioned, one of the nice features of this product is you don't have to open up all the trees in the type designer to analyze them. You can use scripts. So what I've done here is I've created a script to analyze a bunch of trees. And in this case, the syntax is the name of the script and then a directory. And you'll see what the script can do for you here. Okay, and as you can see here, what I did is I quickly analyzed four trees, and you're going to see four sets of results. The first set basically shows you nothing, so that means the tree analyzed fine. The second set, you'll see you got type tree analyze failed. The same with the third set, and then the fourth set, no failure. So that way, I quickly analyzed my trees. I had given it the dash L minus dash and dash S save options. And if I go to my, so that's just one quick example. I want to go now to another directory. Hold on, wrong one. I want to give you an example of some other of the T-import feature. What I'd like to show you here is in this T files to import directory, and hopefully everybody can see this, is I've got an XSD file, I've got a DTD, I've got a COBOL copybook, and an MTS file in this directory. And in order to, again, not have to go through the type designer and click on every single pop-up window that comes through, again, I can create a script. I created a script here, this WFT, you know, timport.bat file, to tell it to go and look in a particular directory for every copybook, every MTS, every XSD, and import it and build a type tree. So here, if I type WSTE, timport, and the argument I got to give it is the directory, it's going to go and look for all those corresponding types of files to import. And here it is, it's attempting to import it. And so far we're seeing success on it. If there were failures, you would see failures. As part of the script, I'm even notifying you to say, go look at this log file, and it will tell you success or failure. What you also see is, if you notice now, there's a bunch of DBE files. I mentioned that during the T-import process, those results by default go to a DBE file. So if you wanted to see success failures, if there were errors, they would be logged to these DBE files, explaining in detail what the error was, the same type of error that would get displayed if you saw that within the T-import process. But if you notice that the timestamps here, if you look at the very bottom file, you see a wrap.mtt file with a timestamp of 12:14, and it's actually 12:15, so we know that it just imported that tree and did successfully create it. If that timestamp wasn't updated, you wouldn't see the new tree there. One more example I'd like to show you is how to compile a bunch of maps. What I've got here is another example. Is in this particular directory, I have a... If you look at that directory listing on the screen, you do see several MMS files. And what I'm going to attempt to do now is compile these maps. Again, I don't have to open up every single one. I can just do it from the command line. And the way I set up this script is I have to specify a directory to go and look at all those files. It's going to go and get all the MMS files. And then I added an option to the script to tell it what platform I want to compile it for. So let's say I wanted to do it for Linux. I type in Linux, and it's going to go and compile all these maps for me. And if you noticed, some of these were fine, and some errored out. I purposely put some errors in these maps. You'll see results with basically nothing next to them. For instance, client MMS, as it compiled it, no errors. But then client with errors, you'll see it failed, and it tells you map compile failed. What I also did with this script, and you can tailor it for your own, the way you want to do it, is because I specified a platform, I said Linux. And if you notice in this directory listing that you now see, there is a Linux directory. So if I go to that Linux directory, you see a whole bunch of MMC files. I just easily compiled those 13 files real quickly through a command line of using a batch file. Did not have to open up the map designer, open up an individual map source file, and build each and every individual one. I didn't have to tell it build for this, you know, click on the build for us. Specific platform, just simply ran the script. So, you know, it can be a useful tool and time saver in the long run. And like I said, these batch scripts are being provided so that if you want to use them and then tailor them for your own needs, please feel free to do so. The part of this is also a utility commands README that I provided. As you can see on the screen, you see three bat files. The details of how to use those BAT files are within the BAT files themselves. And then I also provided some other commands that you can try running based on what we've discussed so far today, giving you some more TNLIs, TImport, mcompile, sdeploy options. And these are all using samples that come with the product. So if you've installed the examples, they're the actual example files that we've provided with WTX, or in the case of the sdeploy commands that I've specified, I took the launcher.msd and renamed it new launcher.msd to manipulate it and do some additional options with it so that I didn't mess up my original version of it. So at this point, I'm going to return control back to David. Okay. David, I should have given you control back.
Yes, you did. Thank you. And thanks, Tim, for a great presentation. Moving on to slide 71, we have a list of additional WebSphere product resources that you hopefully could find useful. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you'd like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. We will now move on to the question and answer session. Don, at this time, we'd like to open up the lines for questions.
And I'm showing no questions in the queue.
Okay, thank you, Don. Tim, we do have a couple of questions in the group chat. The first one is, are there plans to provide secure FTP for the sdeploy deploy option?
Okay. Right now, there is no plan that I'm aware of. But if this is a concern of yours and to your organization, what I strongly suggest is get with your IBM sales representative and open up what we call a FITS request or product enhancement request. It's something your sales rep has to do for you, but you can work with them to get it entered, provide them with a business case justification as well as the enhancement description of what you'd like to see added. It will get forwarded to the appropriate team within WTX. It will be monitored, logged, tracked, and results will be communicated back to you.
Okay, thank you, Tim. And then the other question that Gary also asked, where are the README files located in the WTX examples?
Okay. Gary, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by the READMEs. Our specific examples have some READMEs, but the utility commands necessarily don't. I provided a README with this presentation. It is short and sweet, and that is going to be distributed later today.
And I believe that's the one he's talking about.
Okay.
He's talking about the README that you showed in the examples.
And I know this is a lot to digest. It's not something you're going to take in one sitting or going over the presentation, 50 times. If you do have questions about the usage, please refer to our documentation, refer to the presentation I gave, or feel free to open up a PMR if you're unclear about something, and we'll be here to help you.
Okay, thanks. I don't see any more questions. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Tim, for presenting.
You're welcome.